Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Advisor. My name is Lisa Urbanski, and I am so pumped today. I am here with Clifford Starks, and today we're going to step into the cage and beyond it with a man who is so much more than just a fighter. He is a warrior in the ring and a warrior in life. This is the story of Clifford Starks, a professional fighter, former UFC athlete, now a mindset coach, and a man on a mission to inspire. So I get to call him a friend and a mentor, and I am so pumped to talk to him today. So his professional fighting career launched in 2009, and he quickly rose through the ranks with a very, very impressive 7-0 undefeated streak. Over the years, he competed in some of the most respected mixed martial arts promotions in the world, including the UFC, Bellator MMA, and the World Series of Fighting. So, with 19 professional matches, his winning victory is 14, losing only 5. 3 knockouts, 4 submissions, 7 decision wins. I will not make you mad today. And I'm so excited to talk to him. So welcome, Clifford Starks. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing amazing, Lisa. Thank you for the intro. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you know what's funny, Clifford, is I remember we met, it was probably about 6, 8 months ago, and I had a coaching session with you, and I was working my other job. And I remember taking an impromptu break and running into my car, and I get on this call with you. And it was amazing. You were just so awesome. You just got along so well. You had so much value to add in that moment and like so much experience in this world of mindset. So yeah, that's the first memory of you.
Awesome. Yeah, I appreciate that. And thank you. Thank you so much. 'Cause in life, it's about the value you add to others and what you can share and what you can bring. So I'm excited that you had me on the show because I'm looking forward to adding value in any way that I can.
Amazing. So let's start with the ring. So what drew you into MMA in the first place?
So I was Long story short, so I was an overweight kid, ended up losing the weight, became an athlete, got into academics, and I became a personal trainer. So I was a personal trainer for women specifically, and I like going after big challenges. It's really, really fun to me. So I go, how challenging would it be stepping inside of a ring with another person my size and skill level to see who I am and who I can be.
Jesus. And I remember the first time we talked, I said to you, "Hey, I got to be such a girl right now. How does your wife feel about you fighting?" You just laughed at me. Wow. So you get into the MMA and you have an impressive start, 7 wins right out of the gate. So what kind of mindset did you carry on with you during that time and those victories? That must have been wild.
Yeah, it was exciting. And there was one fight I was so nervous for. So I was 3-0 and I did my pro fight. It was my first pro fight. And I get into the cage and they're singing the song, "All I Do Is Win, 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 No Matter What." And I was so nervous because I'm like, well, if there wasn't pressure before, now it's there.
Shit. Oh my God. That's
Yeah, I got out
insane.
there. I ended up it was a tough one victory. And from there, that's when I actually decided I want to fight in the UFC in less than a year. And my coach was looking at me like I am insane. And I go, "Oh, well, it doesn't hurt to try. Let's give it a try and see what happens."
Nice. That's insane, is right. My heart's pounding just at the thought of that. So, you've competed in the UFC, Bellator, WSOF. So, what was the most defining moment in your fighting career, do you think?
My most defining moment, it will shock people, but I got knocked out on live TV. And I remember I was like, there's one thing that I don't want to happen. Like, I don't want to get knocked out, especially in the UFC, because they show it in different angles and they show it in slow
4,000.
motion. And I'm like,
Yep.
yeah, I go, that's the one thing that I don't want to happen. And it happened. And I'm sitting there and it's embarrassing. Like, I'm embarrassed. And I'm like, son of a mother. And I knew where I messed up too. I messed up for like half a second. And people ask, what was the most defining moment? Well, they say you learn a lot from your losses. And I really learned a lot from them. I learned a ton. One, I can get back up. Just because I've been knocked down doesn't mean I can't get back up. And then two, it actually was a serving lesson to one of my clients. My client actually said, I finally get who you are. And I didn't get what he meant by that. So I asked him. And he goes, you know, you're always so happy-go-lucky, so positive and optimistic. And I thought that was because you won all the time. And he goes, after you lost, I knew that's what you didn't want to happen. Because I actually would talk about it. I'm like, I don't want that to happen. And I trained my ass off so it wouldn't happen.
Right.
I trained. I gave 100%, and the chips just didn't fall in the way that I wanted them to fall. That's the way life goes sometimes. But he goes, now I know who you really are. Like, you're a person who really, really, whether the ship is working or whether it's crashing in the sand, like I was talking to you about, you're always positive and optimistic. And so I actually learned something in that moment. I'm like, oh my goodness, he's never seen me lose before, but I had to lose a lot just to get into that the space that I was in. Like, you lose in the training room. You lose when no one's watching in the
Yeah.
practice room, and you're becoming that person who can be displayed out on TV.
You became so much more real and authentic in that moment to so many of your fans because you got back up and you showed up. And what power is that? Ironically, the next question I was going to ask you is about what did losing in the cage teach you about winning? That yourself, that winning never could, and you just answered that, and that's powerful.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
So, what was your, I mean, talk about being disciplined. That was your life. What was it like waking up every single day and having to, look after that body? Like you were just in the best shape ever. Like that must have been a challenge in itself.
Yeah. So it's interesting because I look at everything comes down to, and I created a formula called the fighter's formula. And I realized everything comes down to our mind, our heart, and our skills aligning. When everything's aligned, things work. And when they're not aligned, they don't. Discipline is just a desire. And so there's something that I'm looking for, right? Something that I'm searching for. There's a reason why I do what I do. If the reasons are clear enough, I can do it. And if they're not, I can't. And so my biggest thing that I want to do is live a life worth living. I wanted to live a life worth living. And the reason I wanted to do that was my mom was a hospice nurse and I saw death at a very young age. And I got to hear stories from people who didn't live the way they wanted to live. And so their stories actually support my story to say, well, I want to live a life worth living. I want to do things the way that I want to do things. And ultimately, either you're being disciplined or you're being undisciplined and you're learning the lessons along the way. And there's been times I've been disciplined and there's been times I've been undisciplined. But the truth is, when you learn how to use this thing effectively, you win. And if you don't know how to use it effectively, the game gets very, very tricky. So I know to look at my North Star. I'm looking at there's a reason why I'm doing what I'm doing, because there's either a reason why I'm doing it or the reason why I'm not doing it. And so I'm looking for, okay, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. I always have a reason. And in having a reason, it makes it easier to.
When did you realize that the mind was the real battleground, or have you always just innately known that?
That's a great question. So there was some innate ability on it. I actually believe that the mind was 90% of the game. And as I got into, I still didn't know what I know now when I was fighting. I got out of fighting and I wanted to serve everyone, everyone and anyone. And as I went through the journey and I got my coaching, I in a deep way realized, I go, oh my goodness, this is 100% mental. This is all in our head, all of it. And that's when I realized, like, oh, I'm a leader for leaders. I'm supposed to support other leaders who want to expand, who want to grow, who want to become something more than themselves. Because people who are whining and complaining, and I'm not trying to disrespect them in any way, but it doesn't really serve anything. Like, it doesn't serve them on their mission of growth. It will never
100%.
work. Yeah. And so I go, oh, because I wasn't really a whiner and complainer. I was a go do it, go make it happen, go create your reality. And I started realizing, like, that's all it takes is taking action. But actions are scary. I get it. Your mind yells at you. Mine still yells at me. No, this is too much. We've gone far enough. You're good. And
Yeah,
I'm like,
totally.
nope, we got more.
And you take that next level, so that means a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man, Clifford, you say do it with fear in your back pocket. What does that mean?
Yeah. So we got two options. We can act with fear or we can act with faith. And so I go, oh, life's nothing more than a coin flip, one or the other, one or the other. And so having fear in front of you in full display doesn't really serve that much. It's going to make you tighter, it's going to make life a lot less easy to manage. You lose your creativity and you're stiff. But if you put fear behind you, you can flow, you can create, you can become what you want to become. So I go, keep fear behind you so that you can expand and become the person that you were looking to become.
I love that. I have a question for you about transitioning. So, was it really hard to transition out of professional fighting, and what kind of came up emotionally for you during that time? Because what a change.
Yeah. So it was tough, and it's tough because of the language, I would say. I felt that I was actually making a transition, and a transition is to stop and do something else. And I had to learn this as I was going through my journey, where I go, oh, wait a minute, it's not a transition, it's expansion. Because I'm taking skills and tools that I've already had and applying them to something else and really focusing them, polishing them, honing them in, and communicating them effectively. If I can communicate them effectively, these serve. And so I go, oh my goodness, like, we're taught to identify as what we are.
Yeah.
And then we go into something else, and it's like, oh, I have a new identity. And it's like, no, you're still that same person, that discipline, that work, that energy, that go put in the reps, that all of that stuff. I can take that, put it into a new arena, and exceed at another level because of the things that I got in the old arena.
Right.
And so I'm going to let go of the things that no longer serve me, and I'll hold on to different things that do serve me, and I'll just keep playing as I'm stepping into new and new arenas.
Yeah, the universe was just giving you your next mission, your next fight in a different way.
Yep, 100%.
Oh my God, I love that so much. I'm getting chills. So now you help others find their greatness. So what does that look like in the work you're doing today?
Yeah, so my biggest thing, it was so crazy. Because my biggest thing that I got to learn was, oh, I don't have to know all the answers. I just have to listen correctly and ask the right questions, and they will reveal themselves. Because when we
Right.
say it's 100% a mental game, like, Oh, it's all in our head. All of it's in our head. And what was crazy, I was so I have a mentor, Jeff Fagan, and he was connected to T. Harv Eker, and they worked together. And T. Harv is an absolute genius. He goes, you are not your head. You're not your mind. You think you're your mind. But he goes, if your hand's acting weird or your leg's acting weird, you wouldn't say I'm my hand or I'm my leg. So why would you say you're your mind? You're the one who hears your mind. And I go, holy crap. And that's, I got to learn consistently. There were things that I knew, but I just knew that our minds are nuts. Like, that's what I knew. Like, as a, like, I'm like, our minds are crazy. And I thought everybody knew that. Like, I'm like, doesn't
No.
everybody know how crazy their mind is? Like, no, they think they're their mind. And it was like freeing for me to know, like, oh crap, oh crap. They don't even know that their mind is doing this thing and making this game bigger than it has to. Like, ah. And so I
Totally.
go, oh, I just have to ask them the questions because it's their mind playing with them right now, making things bigger than they are. Oh, these dragons, oh, this is the biggest one. I can't do this because if I do this, I'll die.
Yeah.
And so I serve people to really that abundant space to be like, hey, it's me and you, Lisa, where you have great things that you will always have that I can never have. Stories, journey, process. And I'll have great things that you'll never have. And we can come together and make our great things better together. And so I go through my life supporting others by asking really powerful questions and having them play in a way they've never played before, challenging them to go like, what if you did give 100% in that specific area? What would that look like?
Give them a bridge, right? This makes so much sense. Oh man, Clifford, this is a big one. What would you tell your 20-year-old self if you could go back and give that man a piece of advice?
Document everything. Like, it goes back to one, I want to thank everyone who's ever been in my journey. My
That's beautiful.
supporters, my haters, my doubters, my friends, my family, my community, the ones who made it ugly, the ones who made it beautiful.
Yeah.
Because I'm gonna go put in the reps. Like, that's the one thing that I know about me. I'm gonna go put in the reps. I'm gonna go learn some lessons, and I'm just gonna go. And that 20-year-old kid, the only difference between me and him is I've documented it and put it into stuff. The kid was just,
Right.
he's so busy going, taking action, making things happen, figuring it out, getting it wrong, getting it right. And but it wasn't documented.
Right. Yeah, totally. Just running on life, running on adrenaline, and now you're it sounds like you're making smarter business moves according to
Yes.
your older self.
Yes. I had there was one business coach. He goes, do you have everything of you getting into the UFC in less than a year? Do you have that all documented? And I thought that I did at the time. I'm like, yes, I do. I didn't realize that it was like 1.5% documented. Like, a couple people do.
Thanks.
And as I journey through it more and more, it's usually the small things that make the big difference in our life. And our brain wants to overcomplicate everything and
Everything.
say, oh, we got to do a million and one things and we got to do all that. And let's just keep doing what we know what to do. Let's keep doing what we know so we can be safe. But if you keep doing what you know, well, then you're going to get more of the same results that you get.
Yes. Oh my God, 100%. So, what keeps you grounded and inspired today?
You are right now because I'm grateful, humbled, and honored to be on your podcast. So thank you for that. And it means a lot that you consider me a mentor. That does mean a lot to me. And my wife, my kids, my family, my community. I know I'm just a person who's walking his journey the best that he can. And if I can serve, I serve. And if I can't, I can wish a person well and give them love and light.
What's next for you? What is lighting you up right now? What do you see happening in the next little while? And for the record, I admired you immediately. We had that conversation, and I was just like, man, that's a strong man. And he's so beautiful, and he's so respectful, and he treats everyone with such respect. And I've been watching you and the way you interact with your clients, and it's just, I'm so honored that that we're doing this together.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate you. And what's next for me? I'm going after 1 billion people to be loving, kind, and abundant. And it was freeing to know my challenge. I did not know how to ask for help. I was not good at it. And when I was going after the 1 billion people, I was really thinking, like, I got to do this all on my own and I'm going to figure it out.
Jeez.
And yeah, and just like one arena to go to the next arena. My next arena was Cliff, ask for help. Cliff, get support. Because I was bedridden for 10 days. It sucked. I burnt out. Because when you're taking that kind of that level of intensity and you're doing it all on your own, it's going to catch up. And it did.
Totally.
And I learned a really valuable lesson because it really taught me to slow down for that moment. And now I support other leaders in amplifying because I know, like I can tell when I listen to them, those go-getters, those high achievers, those I'm going to put in the reps, I'm going to put in the reps no matter what. And it's like, oh, you're enrolling people in your journey. It's about enrollment. And you can actually enroll them in a way where they want to give 100% because you've listened to them in such a way where when you win, they win too. That's the name of the game. I go, oh, negotiation is about creating those win-win opportunities where we're all walking hand in hand and making this a reality. And so as a leader, I got to learn like leaders like yourself, you know, starting your podcast, doing your thing, getting your message out there, bringing people on, like, thank you so much for bringing me on, but bringing other people on to amplify their message. And I go, oh, we're doing this together. Like, this is a game that we're playing together. So everybody that I connect with, I support them in any way that I can, whether they're working with me or not. I just want to support them.
So I want to respect your time, and I know we only have a small amount of it left. And before we sign off for today, where can people find you to check out your leadership, your training, and your coaching? Where can they find you?
Yeah, so if you find me on LinkedIn or Facebook under Clifford Starks, send me a message. Let me know what resonated with you too, because I love knowing my people. And thank you so much, because I actually lost track. So I'm glad you hit it right on the dot. I love that.
Well, I am just like completely honored and so grateful that we had a chance to sit down and do this. And I'd love for you to come back and do it again sometime as well. There's so many more things that we could talk about and share and inspire other people with. And I know the audience is going to get so much value from everything you've shared today. And
Yeah.
I just appreciate you so much. So thank
Yeah.
you so
Thank you,
much.
Lisa. I appreciate you. Keep being amazing. Audience, thank you very much. You all keep being amazing too, and let's keep shining together.
Keep shining together, buddy.
All
Go
right.
crush your day.
Love
All
and
right.
light.
Cheers.
Take care, Lisa.
Bye bye.